Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And now I have on the line, we have James Geary. He's a New York Times bestselling author, and he's got a book out called Wit's End. Good afternoon to you, James. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How are you?
Whereabouts are you, James, in the States?
I live in Boston.
Oh, fantastic. Cheers.
a little bit cold here.
Yes, it's a little bit colder here, but I won't compare because I think you'll beat me on that. Right, James, this is a fantastic book. Cause I was talking to our producer Wendy before the show, and I said to her, "Wendy, what is wit?" And we both kind of knew when to use the word and how to use it in describing somebody, but we couldn't really define it there and then, so we looked up in a dictionary. That's the first question, really. What is wit?
Well, I think when we think about wit, we tend to think of someone who's funny or a stand-up comedian or something like that. But then if you think of the way that we use the word wit in our daily language, like you're at your wit's end or you outwit someone, or you have to live by your wits or keep your wits about you, that has nothing to do with being funny. So my definition of wit is it's a kind of intelligence. It's a kind of improvisational intelligence that enables people to combine pieces of information from very different sources and often very kind of remote sources, remote from each other, and to bring those together and combine them in some way that results in some kind of witty remark or joke, or it could be something more practical, like an invention or a discovery.
Yeah.
So wit is a kind of intelligence that combines information from very different sources and enables us to produce something new, whether that's a joke or a discovery.
So, yeah, you just alluded it right at the end there, because you talked about there's a little bit of a distinction. Where is that relationship? Has that word evolved a little bit then when we talk about humor? Somebody's quite witty because they're very quick with the humor or quick with the comebacks. Where is that relationship still there? Or what you're saying is that the word has a wider use?
Yeah, the definition is the relationship is still there for sure between being funny and being witty. But the reason someone is funny is because they make a combination. They make a surprising or delightful combination. Like if you make a pun, you combine two different words that sound the same but have different meanings.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of combination process that I'm talking about. And a scientist or an inventor, or even a musician or an artist who make visual wit, or like a clown who can make physical wit, they're making that same combination. So it has to do with being funny. But I think the essence of wit is not necessarily making a joke, but making a unique, surprising combination.
Yeah. Now, when I looked at the book and when I was researching for this interview, I said to my producer, the instance that comes to mind when I talk about somebody being witty, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I was reminded of Winston Churchill in the House of Commons when Lady Esther said to him, "I do believe the Prime Minister's drunk," and his comeback was, "I may be drunk, but you are ugly and I'll be sober in the morning." And it was just right on the cuff there. Is that an instance of wit, or is that just the fact that he's very quick?
No, that's definitely wit. And I think Winston Churchill was one of the wittiest people of the 20th century. He also has a great saying, "When you're going through hell, keep going."
Yes.
And I think that's so witty because the setup, it's sort of like a joke. It's like a miniature joke.
Yeah.
He gives you that setup where when you're going through hell and you hear that, and you expect some kind of inspirational, motivational, feel-good conclusion, but then he delivers this really surprising punchline. And I think that's what That's what makes things witty, is the surprise and the twist at the end.
Yeah, and today we see a lot of media covering a lot of stories, and a lot of commentators out there, I think very popular on YouTube, and very popular on like CNN, Fox, maybe BBC in Europe, and they will be debating a subject, and they have to be able to draw on knowledge and command the debate. And do you think there's a lot of wit involved in that situation there?
Well, if we're talking about politics, certainly U.S. politics, I don't think I don't think we're suffering from an excess of wit in American politics. But I think it's different in Europe, and especially in the U.K., where I think Prime Minister's question time is a real test of wit. Because, and I think what's different between the U.K. and the U.S. is that in the U.S., you know, in the Senate and the House of Representatives, they're all kind of set-piece speeches. There's not really any opportunity for back-and-forth debate. Each senator gets up and gives his spiel for however long he's allowed to talk, or she's allowed to talk, and then the next one comes on. And you saw that at, if you watched any of the hearings around the Supreme Court.
Yes, yeah.
Supreme nominee. But in the U.K., in Prime Minister's Question Time, the Prime Minister can get a question about anything from almost anyone, and she has to respond, you know, right off the cuff in the moment, keeping her wits about her. And also what I love about the UK political system is it's so raucous and rowdy in the House of Commons, and people are making jokes and shouting things out. I think that's a much more rough and tumble kind of politics, where someone really has to show their wits. And if they're not witty in the sense of being able to, you know, have a quick comeback, it really shows. And that can be a very politically damaging experience.
Yeah. I remember Margaret Thatcher having to deal with some situations where Dennis Skinner and people like that would actually shout out, and she would respond quite quickly off the cuff. And it's fascinating to see. I've got this feeling that some Americans love watching our parliament in the UK, whereas some British people think it's a bit childish, but the Americans seem to like it.
But I think it seems much more real and much more immediate. And you know, maybe it's changing now. And certainly the debate about Brexit is one where people are actually losing their wits, it seems. But I think what's appealing about UK politics is what I was just referring to earlier. You get to see more of the real person in that exchange than, you know, some senator standing up and making a kind of self-regarding speech. And the people who are so attractive as candidates in the U.S. In the recent congressional elections, like Beto O'Rourke in Texas, you know, a lot of his appeal is just, you know, he's a straight-talking kind of guy. And he just went out there and said what he believed. And he was, you know, more genuine. And I think, you know, people like John McCain, people also felt that way about him. And he was also very witty, kind of like Winston Churchill. He really loved sparring with journalists and things like that.
Now, how can we get more witty in our everyday life? I know that's kind of you look at that in the book, because there are times when you may be talking with somebody, it may get turned into a little bit of a debate, and it can become a slanging match. And you think, you know, those that shout the loudest. But to me, I think those who can be witty and intelligent and make a good point and not have to shout and not have to kind of be confrontational, actually, for me, they win the argument.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think wit is not about being the loudest or the strongest. It's about having the most ingenious argument, really. And I think one way to enhance your wit quotient, if I can use that word, is to make puns. Now, many of your listeners are probably rolling their eyes when they hear that, because puns are traditionally considered the lowest form of wit. But as I argue in the book,
I thought sarcasm was.
Sarcasm, yes, even lower than puns. You didn't go that low. But I argue in the book that puns are actually the highest form of wit, because they do exactly what we were talking about earlier. They make these surprising combinations that surprise and delight people. And if you if you make puns, you can kind of train your brain to make those kind of associations. And the more you do it, it's just like, you know, running or lifting weights or whatever. The more you exercise your punning muscles, you know, the stronger they get, and yeah, the more witty you can become. One of my favorite puns is by George Carlin, American stand-up comedian,
yes,
died maybe 10 or so years ago. He said, "Atheism is a non-profit institution." And what I love about a pun, so it's not like just a pun is just like a stupid yeah, joke, but that pun in particular, it's got some really interesting social critique in it about, you know, non-profit institution. Of course, he's referring to prophets like, you know, Moses and Muhammad and things.
Yeah.
So as in the sense of money. And here in the U.S., we just had the news that the Vatican is going to be billed $6 billion for back taxes. So in a pun like that is not just the fun play on words, but it's also got a smart, interesting idea about some social issue or some philosophical idea.
It really is. It's fascinating stuff. And I'm thinking of the one, there's not many atheists on their deathbeds. That was another one which came to mind when you were saying that. And it's fascinating, really, because in many ways, well, for instance, we were talking last week about the power of storytelling. We were talking to an author who's got a book out about storytelling. And I think this kind of links in well, because people who are able to tell stories and engage people are witty people, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think that's a really interesting point of connection between storytelling and wit. Because what happens in a witty joke or a pun or a witty remark, you never really, no one, like, if you explain the joke or if you explain the punchline before you deliver it, of course you destroy the of it. And so what happens in a witty remark is that the person who's making the remark is telling a story and setting up a kind of scene, but it requires the active kind of collaboration, creative collaboration of the listener to complete the story. And, you know, when you listen to that pun, atheism is a nonprofit institution, I don't have to explain what the relationship is between the different meanings of the word profit or anything like that. Listeners figure it out. Mm. And in doing so, they become sort of like an accomplice of the storyteller or the person who makes the witty remark. And so I think wit is this kind of really interesting, very intimate process that really brings two people's minds very close together, because the listener has to complete the joke or complete the story, because by definition, a witty remark is left incomplete for the listener to figure it out. And what's that? And that's interesting, because to get a pun, you're performing really the same mental activity, the same mental acrobatics as the person who makes the pun. So, and that's why I say in the book, everybody is witty, because it takes just as much wit to get a pun or get a joke as it does to tell one.
Now, you say that, but is everybody witty? Because like you say, I can't remember Winston Churchill ever getting a BA honours degree in wit. And yet you said he is one of the most wittiest people from the last century. Are you born with it, James, or can you master it?
Yeah. It's both. You're born with it. I think everybody is witty, but everybody's witty in a different way. So like we were talking about at the beginning, there's scientific wit, there's innovative wit, there's visual wit, there's physical wit. There's many different ways to be witty. Being verbal wit is just one of them. And I think, like, I do talks about my book, and as part of the talk, I have a pun competition at the end. And I ask people to volunteer, and we just kind of name a theme, like plants or body parts or, you know, modes of transportation or something like that. And then we just go around, and everybody has to make a pun immediately or they're out. And the last person punning gets a free copy of the book. But what you see every time, what happens is that nobody wants to volunteer. And then once it gets started, everybody wants to take part and everybody can make puns. I think once you start getting that, like, wit engine going, people realize, oh, this is not as hard. This is not as hard as I thought it was. And you can make puns. So I think everybody is, you know, has this innate. It's a basic way that the human mind or human creativity works. This kind of combination of very different things. So everybody has it. They just express it in different ways.
Yeah, and there's one that works really well on the radio, and that is maybe a news headline of the day, and you link a song. Somebody will come in with a song that links to that headline, that's a great way. And if you can get it quite, some people get it really quickly. Others have to work longer at it, and you can see kind of maybe their wit level or their witometer there. But have you become more witty now, having researched this, James?
That's a terrible question, Dan.
Thank you very much.
I would say if you ask my family members, they'd say become considerably less witty. I've become much more kind of hyper aware of wit and these kind of associations, these surprising associations wherever they happen. And I've started seeing them, like I said, not just verbally, but in visual wit, in advertisements and things like that. So I think, I may not have become personally more witty, but I've become much more attuned to seeing the wit all around me.
Yeah.
And just, one piece of advice for the punsters out there. I make way more puns in my head than I actually speak out loud. And I think that's really healthy for relationships with loved ones, spouses, co-workers.
Yeah.
You want to pump in moderation.
You got to keep some of that stuff inside. That's it, yeah. James, thank you for coming on. I know you got to go and do another interview, but thanks for joining us here at TRE. The book's called Wit's End, What Wit Is, How It Works, and How and Why We Need It by James Geary. It's available on our website, tre.radio. James, thank you very much. Really enjoyed that. Thanks.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Cheers, bye-bye. James Geary there, and he's a very witty man.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.